You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
Most people don't realize this, but the practice of baptism for the dead, a key LDS temple ordinance, didn't come from the Book of Mormon. It wasn't even taught in the early years of Mormonism. So where did it come from? And does it line up with Scripture? Let's take a look. Contrary to popular belief, baptism for the dead is nowhere in the Book of Mormon. In fact, the Book of Mormon strongly teaches that there is no chance for salvation after death. Check this out. It says in Alma 34, "For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. If we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed." And what about verse 35? "For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even unto death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore, the spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked." Now, this is completely at odds with the later LDS idea that the dead can accept the gospel after death through proxy baptisms performed by the living. So, when did this actually begin? When did baptism for the dead enter into Mormonism? The year was 1940, 10 years after the Book of Mormon was published. Joseph introduced the idea for the first time publicly at a funeral in Nauvoo, Illinois, for a church member named Seymour Brunson. Eyewitnesses report that during the funeral, Smith taught that the dead could still accept the gospel and that the living could be baptized on their behalf. Now, this was completely new theology, even to the early Mormons. And here's what the LDS website says about this. A few weeks later, Joseph taught the saints more about baptism for the dead. He said that many people who had died wanted to be baptized. They wanted to follow Jesus Christ. They were waiting and hoping for their family members who were still alive to be baptized for them. So the saints ran to the river right away. They were baptized for people they loved. Later, the Lord taught that baptism for the dead should be done in the temple. Someone should keep a record of each baptism, and men should be baptized for men and women for women. Now, this is kind of a kiddified explanation of what was happening in that time when this proxy baptism doctrine was being developed. So it starts with Joseph Smith at this funeral. He realizes that people liked the idea, and so then he has a revelation about it, which we have in DNC 124. It says in verse 29, "For a baptismal font there is not upon the earth, that they, my saints, may be baptized for those who are dead." And so in DNC 124, which was 1841, God commands the saints to build the Nauvoo Temple and introduces baptism for the dead as a necessary ordinance. So now it's getting written down, and it's becoming official canon for the church. And then later, DNC 128, which was a year later, 1842, Smith appeals to 1 Corinthians 15:29 to support the practice even more. And this is where he stresses the importance of recording these proxy baptisms. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:29 says this, "If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead?" Now, I'm going to explain this verse by the end of this episode, because this is kind of the justification for Mormons. In fact, Mormons say this to me all the time here in Utah when I try to share Jesus with Mormons. They talk about this all the time. I'm going to explain this verse, not by Joseph Smith's explanation, but by a proper biblical explanation of this. But before we get into that, let me just kind of summarize what happened. By the time the Nauvoo Temple was in use, these ordinances had become central to temple theology. And so eventually, to this day now, it becomes a big part of the LDS mission. So Mormons today track their ancestors. That's why they're so into genealogy. They go to the temple. They're baptized on behalf of ancestors and other people who have died so that people could accept the gospel in the spirit world. Now, I talked a little bit last week about spirit prison and the spirit world and all that kind of stuff, but let me just summarize it one more time right here. So essentially, the idea is this. If you die and you haven't responded to the Mormon gospel, there are missionaries in the spirit world that will share the Mormon gospel with you so that you can still make a decision to follow, to accept the Mormon gospel. But the problem is you don't have a body anymore. And so you need someone who's alive, a current Mormon, who still has a body to be baptized in your place, because Mormons believe that baptism is one of the ordinances that is required for salvation. So essentially, this ordinance, this checkbox, this requirement for salvation is something that someone else can do for you. So in other words, you're not just saved by yourself, you're not just saved by Jesus, you're saved by someone else. You owe your salvation in part to someone else who lives on the earth and is being baptized for you. Now, I think this is genius in one sense, because if I'm a high school kid, a Mormon, a high school kid, and I'm going to the temple, and I know a lot of former Mormons who said this very thing, they would say, man, this was so encouraging for me to know that I could work for someone else's salvation. The problem is, that's not biblical. Biblically, Jesus is the only one who saves us. The Bible says that only Jesus can save us. In fact, the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by our works. Now, in my church and in most Christian churches, we encourage baptism because Jesus commanded us to be baptized. But he doesn't wait to save us until we get baptized, because the Bible clearly says over and over and over again that we're not saved by our baptism or someone else's baptism in our place. We're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And also, the Bible says that we have to make that decision today, here and now. We can't wait until we're dead. There's no second chance after we die. We have to make the decision today. So what's this verse talking about then? 1 Corinthians 15:29. If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Well, what's happening here is Paul is arguing for resurrection. He's trying to argue with the Corinthians that resurrection is a thing. He's not saying that Christians do baptism for the dead. What he's saying is there must have been a group in that day that did baptism for the dead, and he's appealing to that group, saying they even believe in resurrection for the dead. But if Paul practiced resurrection for the dead, Paul would have said, why do we baptize for the dead? Paul wasn't claiming this as a Christian practice. And nowhere else in Scripture does it say it's a Christian practice. Jesus didn't talk about it. Peter didn't talk about it. Paul didn't. John did it. None of the disciples, nobody talked about baptism for the dead. If it was truly something that we were supposed to practice, it would have been in the Word of God. Now, I know a Mormon would argue, well, no, see, the Word of God is corrupted, and that's why we need a restored Word. That's why we need a restored gospel, because there must have been groups that forgot about it or that wrote it out. But friends, that's just simply not the truth. Here's what I think happened. I think that Joseph Smith, at that funeral, recognized that this idea of baptism for the dead was encouraging to people. I mean, why wouldn't it be? I've done many baptisms in my ministry career, and I would love to be able to look at somebody and say, oh, I know that your grandpa passed away and he didn't accept Jesus, but that's okay. It's not too late, because somebody's going to share the gospel with him in the spirit prison, and you can be baptized for him today. And man, wouldn't that make you excited? Now, this got baked into Mormonism so that even today, Mormons believe that this is the truth, and it's just simply not in the Bible. Friends, baptism for the dead is a Mormon thing. It's not a Christian thing. It's not a Bible thing. I encourage you, if you're a Mormon listening to this and you're frustrated by these words that I'm saying, I know it's hard to learn something and to have the curtain pulled back, but I just encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. Open up the Bible for yourself. Trust it. Don't read the Bible with an asterisk. Don't just trust it, quote, as far as it's translated correctly. Just trust that the God who inspired the writing of his word is strong enough also to make sure that the word that we have, the Bible that we have today, is sure and true and right. Read it for yourself, and you'll see that salvation is by faith and faith alone. And salvation is all about Jesus. It's not about some family member being baptized for another one.